I'd like to give you a warm welcome today. I'm Judith Shapiro. I'm the Department of Economics undergraduate tutor. The economics department is very clearly and far and away the largest department at LSE. And so I'm full-time handling a job that a lot of other people you will meet have to juggle with their other activities. And my responsibility is the undergraduates in this department. So I have presented this talk a number of times before, and I'd like to start a little unusually by asking you first if you have any questions that you want to be sure I cover. I may tell you, I'm getting to that. I know it's on slide 7. But I wanted to do that because what tends to happen, of course, is that we go to the end of the session. I ask if there's questions. That happens in lectures, too. You really know that translated it means if there aren't any questions, we can all go now. And so you tend not to ask. And one of the problems we face at LSE, or all universities I know that have a sizable economics department, is that our lectures are even larger than this. And so making the best use of lectures is something we're concentrating on, working on how to make them more interactive. We have a method with clickers where you don't have to raise your hand and you answer questions. However, this year it has had a lot wrong with it, so I'm not trying it on you. You can even use your phone, but when it doesn't work, there's nothing more frustrating, as you know, than technology that doesn't work. You all have that happen to you a lot. So I'm not going to do anything fancy. I can't even walk very far from the microphone because they forgot to give me a portable mic. I know it's more exciting for you if I pace up and down. At least it gives it some drama, and I'm trying to learn to do that more. But I can't do that, and well, I can, but it will go off the video. So I'm not going to do that. And also, the clicker isn't here as well. You've heard all my apologies. In fact, it's worse than that. Well, there we go. Which is that, okay. It's not working very well. So I was told early on you want to know what our students think, or rather, you want to know why study this subject at LSE. And I think the best way for me to answer that is not to tell you why I came to LSE, which was 51 years ago. I had a very amusing conversation with my bank on a security question yesterday. They said, and what was your email when you opened this account? And I said, reality check, 1962 email. But the young man really didn't know. He'd always had email, probably a lot of you, right? And he really didn't understand that we didn't have it. I thought of making it up or giving my current one, which is on there and on the handout you have. And as I explain later, I can't really get into a long discussion with you about your extended project, but I can do limited exchange after this on specific questions you have. Also, I will stay here probably the whole lunch hour, but hopefully not, to answer individual questions. So if you don't have questions, I know a lot of you do, but you don't want to raise your hand now. You can come up and ask me specific ones, especially if they're individual, like, should I drop chemistry in order to take up AS further maths? To which the answer is, if you have to do it that way, yes. You want to ask me individual ones like that. I'm here. There'll be a long queue. Please be prepared to wait or to listen to the others' questions, but that's how I run Open Day. This talk is really just the centerpiece. You could have stayed home to watch the talk on video, but to ask me individual questions or just talk, that's something else you can't get. Okay, here's one answer I got. What's taught in the classroom is directly linked to the real world. Here's another. I've kept that for a long while. It was written just at the time that the 2008 crisis, which you all vaguely remember, maybe it's what brought you into economics, and you'll always write that on a personal statement. That when I was really young, I noticed that something had gone very wrong with the economy. It's like the generation of 1929. But at that time, we were having the G20 conference here, and the Times had a map of the important places that on there, Canary Wharf and Docklands, and they had LSE because we had three presidents of three countries in 1 week giving talks at LSE. And so you feel when you're here that you're really in the center. Just watch it now in the news, and you'll see The BBC had a program on Russia and Ukraine at broadcast from the old theater at the London School of Economics, or from this theater. The old theater is set up best. The acoustics are not as good for you sitting there, but it's better for the BBC. And so this front row ticket to the credit crunch, the government response, and you also look at big questions in your class. I'm not going to pretend that your class is about these big questions, except for LSE 100, which you have heard about, I hope, and will hear about, which was precisely meant to bring the big questions to you. A lot of economics in the beginning is not even as exciting as your A-level, because we want to make sure that you aren't just talking on the surface. This isn't just a journalism school. It's to teach you so that you can change what we think, not just read it and write a quick article about it. But combining what's here at LSE, out there, with your fellow students, what's right here between Westminster and the Square Mile, that is the city, it's not really the Square Mile anymore. There's a famous saying that LSE graduates decide whether they will turn right to change the world or turn left to make their fortune. And I have a number of colleagues who manage to do both. However, some people like me go out there on Aldwych and they just come back to Houghton Street and they like it here. Or they go to other American universities to do PhDs. But that's very much the feeling of it and the sort of graduates that we produce. Ordinary people, famous people, both. You don't have to be the highest flyer to get the most out of your LSE education. Okay, here are some more I got. Challenging but rewarding, structured requiring discipline, but still with scope for a choice of a wide variety of varied and interesting outside options. And I will explain that. That's most of what I'm going to talk about is, if you do the BSc Economics, what will it be like? Because I don't want you sitting there in my office 2 years from now saying, I didn't realize it was so mathematical. I don't get that anymore, but I want to be sure that you understand that. And on the other hand, we don't just want people who like math, but they aren't really interested in economics, but some career advisor told you, if you're good at math, you can make money, go into economics. Go somewhere else. Please don't come here. We want exciting people. You want exciting people. We want the kind of students, hopefully, that you want to be with. And that doesn't mean there's just one type, because that's pretty boring. In fact, we have fought against the problem that we are so good for getting jobs in financial services that we get lots of people, and before they arrive, they already want their interview set up with careers. And I had a young man do that. Even before he arrived here, he said, "Can I have an appointment with careers? I need my job." And he got his job with Goldman Sachs, and he hates it, and he is leaving to go and work in Africa. And I'm not surprised because, you know, you have to do enough. Jobs at Goldman Sachs is great for a lot of our students, or anywhere else. Making money is great. But if you don't enjoy your job, think what you would pay to have a job you liked. That's the way economists look at it. It's just like when you're unhappy, think what you would pay to be happy. So learning the economics will get you the kind of job in financial services or anywhere where you're using your brain. And that's what we want, is people who want to use their brain and their imagination. And there is a special LSE dimension. And the special LSE dimension is that we have always, since our founding, thought we could speak for what, or have a, be a center for debate about what is best for Britain and the world. And the world was always important. The Webbs, whose pictures you can see, have been accused of being imperialist, and that probably was true, but the side of that was that they were international. They also thought they knew not just what was best for Britain, but for India and everywhere else. So we care about that. We've had a discussion on this, on the question of something that won't concern you directly, but right after you, which is the change in A-levels, which are going to be more challenging. And when we were asked about it at LSE, we said, well, on the one hand, we want really hard A-levels that will discriminate between the very, very top, so we don't have to sit there reading your personal statement with a fine-tooth comb. In the old days, it was hard to get an A. Your parents can tell you about that. Please believe them. And there was no A star. And Cambridge didn't require A's. But nonetheless, what we say is we don't want A-levels to be so hard that there's no room for people who aren't at the very top. We don't want to send you out into a world in which you're the stars, but, you know, you need, well, a lot like the country I come from, if you can tell by my accent, you often need special protection because people who haven't made it don't live as well. And we want a more equal world in general, and we care about that at LSE, and that's a special as well that I add. Okay, and I guess this sums it up. Academic rigor. It says great social life. You've read this stuff, I assume, somewhere. Does LSE have rubbish social life? Well, it can, but not if you're worried. If you're worried about it and you want a good social life, the problem I face is too many students who in first year think that it's their gap year and they have too great a social life till they wake up. But basically, it's what you make of it. It is a little difficult in London. But on the other hand, if you want to have it, you have a fantastic set of opportunities, not just at LSE, too. We have very strong ties now with the UCL Economics Department, which some of you are considering also. And we have a joint economics conference for students we just had. We had it at LSE this year, and next year it will be at UCL. And you can be invited, too, if you want to watch for it. And it'll be in the autumn. And we've also got this, we call it diversity, but the reality is if you want students who come from all over the world and who are not exactly like you wherever you come from, you'll be comfortable here. I loved it the minute I arrived. We have a special procedure where you can change your class if you have a reason in our first year economics course. And you're supposed to give a reason, and I watch, so if we have routine people who somehow can't get up at 11 a.m., then I say no. And I loved this answer. It said, I need to change my class because I left my key at home in Albania. Okay? And maybe there's somebody here from Albania for whom that's not so funny. But what had happened was this young woman came, and she left her key at home to her hall of residence, and she didn't want to leave it unlocked until the locksmith came. And so she missed her Monday morning class, but she wanted one on Monday afternoon. And so if you want that sort of thing of people from all over the world and right with you to share ideas, it'll be great. If you really want someone just like you, only like you, you won't like it. And even UCL isn't looking like that anymore, I have to say. When we had a meeting of the two groups of students, you wouldn't know which was from which. We think they are jealous of us, of course, but never. Okay. Now, this is very important, though. Economics is demanding. So it's not a good place for you to come, not only if you really don't like maths. You don't have to love maths in the sense that you want to be a mathematician now. But at some point in your life, it should have been your favorite subject till you discovered other things, unless you discovered economics really early, which could have happened given 2008 and all that. If that isn't you, what do I recommend if you love economics and you're absolutely passionate about LSE? We have a number of other courses that will be better for you. Obviously not BSc Mathematics and Economics. Those are for you who are just tolerating the economics but love the maths. But we have a number of joint degrees, Government and Economics, Philosophy and Economics, Economics and Economic History, Economic History. Those are obvious. You can look them up. I want to give you one more I really want to stress because British students don't always notice it. French students do. It's where they come first, and sometimes it's wrong for them. That's BSc Management, which gives you a broader introduction to economics but also psychology in a less mathematically intense way. Still wants maths, but if you look at the requirements, you'll see they don't put the same emphasis on that. And you can, from that, go into any sort of job or graduate degree, but you can do finance, certainly. And we get a number of people we turn down that I could see if they had applied for BSc Management, they would be perfect. If you want to practically apply your economics, maybe not even in the private sector, but the public sector, because the public sector also needs people who do this sort of degree. When you hear the people from the Government Economic Service, they're always explaining that they want people who can explain complex ideas simply. So management is good for that. So I just call your attention to that. You should decide which of the LSE courses is really right for you. There's no point in being elated and euphoric all summer that you got into LSE and then being really depressed when you get here because it's not right. And when you wake up in the morning, you think, oh, first I have mathematics, then I have statistics, then I have economics. And I listened to the guy next to me and I took accounting because he said it was boring and easy. And it's boring, but it's not easy. So what do I do? We get a lot of that. Don't do that. That is, you don't have to take accounting, too. For about 25% of you, it's lovely. They really like it, and you will want to use it. But for the others, don't just take it. And you want to have some ideas in your life, and you also have to basically not notice that the mathematics is getting in the way. The economics course in first year is not more mathematical than your A level. However, if the maths is bothering you all along, then it's all you see. It reminds me when I started learning to drive in Britain, and I didn't even pay attention to which side of the road. The problem first was, what do you do in a roundabout? Which way is the traffic coming? And things like that. And then it gets in the way, not knowing these little things, and that's all you see. And so the point is you have to be able to look at the mathematics and just feel comfortable. It takes work, of course it does. You have to enjoy it to some degree. It isn't just, as I'll say, a mathematics degree, but if it makes you uncomfortable, think of all these wonderful joint degrees. There are also other universities where the mathematics is less demanding, and I know about them. I'm a member of the management committee of something called the Economics Network, and I recommend you look on Why Study Economics and where Studying Economics, which are their websites. And there you can see the difference between the different programs of different universities. I used to be able to recommend people that York had a very unmathematical program, but it doesn't look like that now, so you have to keep up to date. Probably it's a joint degree. Economics is not getting more mathematical than it used to, and it won't keep going because they want answers from us, fortunately, now with the crisis. But it is as mathematical as astronomy. You can't say, well, I love watching the stars, but I don't like maths, and so I don't know why they want you to have maths for astronomy. If you want to know the orbit of a planet, you need some maths. And if you want to understand the economics without maths, it's too much. However, it isn't the only thing there is. It should be for you something you can put in the background. Now, economics is not a subject for, unfortunately, for people who like to do all their studying at the last minute. First of all, we're pretty confused economists, right? In case you haven't noticed, 50% of economists think a fiscal stimulus is just great, and the other 50% think it's going to lead us to doom, right? And we have both, in any given course or university, you usually have both if it's a good place. So you have to absorb it. You have to think about it. There are models. You have to think about how they work, get the idea, look at evidence, decide the evidence is incomplete. If you try to swallow it all at the last minute, you get indigestion. Also, if you even miss 2 weeks because you got into your rehearsals for plays, that's a big thing. I get the feeling that when they're up here rehearsing or up on the old theater stage that they forget about the world. And you wake up, and it's like a train which has gone on, and no matter how fast the taxi you want to catch up in is going, you can't quite catch that train. So you have to keep it up. And if you can't do that, for some of you, it's a personality change. If you can make that change, you'll be happier. I took years to make that change. I don't even notice it, but I have a sign that's one of the sort of refrigerator magnet in my office. It says, warning, if it were not for the last minute, nothing would get done. But if that's still you, you need to change that. Change your idea of what the last minute is. Every week it needs to be the last minute to be up with your work. You don't have to do brilliantly. You'll see a lot of students around here. They are studying for their exams, but you have to keep it regular. Active learning, again, I emphasize that you can't just watch and absorb it. You have to work how it's supposed to work. You have to do the diagrams. You have to answer the questions. You have to think, what if they put it a different way? Okay, and it can't be crammed, as I've already said. Okay, and I'm going to say this three or four times about the maths and statistics, but I don't want this to put off people who love economics, are happy with mathematics, and will be willing to learn any mathematics they can see is useful for understanding the world. I'll just put this all there. Okay. So if it's a bitter pill, I've already said that right, if it's a bitter pill, don't try to swallow it here. It's very nicely sugar-coated in a lot of other degrees. Maybe some of you are considering it, but usually I find that the people who come in the morning session, open day, are thinking about BSc Economics. But you still have a chance to think about the joint degrees and to consider which one would work for you. And for those of you who will be applying for the future for our politics, philosophy, and economics course, for example. Okay. So what's it going to be like? Why am I warning you so much? Well, you come in first year. Try to imagine it. You have four courses plus LSE 100, which starts after you've settled in, as we say. You have economics, of course. For most of you who've done A-level economics, we have a problem. Our EC 102 can seem a little too easy. That's a bit of a trap if you want to do really well on the exam, because you'll have forgot some, it'll have answered questions differently. We are working on how to make it more exciting for you, because there are people in there who haven't done A-level economics. And so we want extra lectures, we have extra sessions the Economic Society runs, there'll be extra talks in the coming year and the year after, I hope, for most of you. How many people are applying for next autumn here? And how many for 2015? Yeah, that's what I thought. So I hope, that's what I assumed. So I said, that's why I said that I hope the year after that. And by then, things will have changed in other ways, including this PPE degree, which is a broader degree. And you want to be sure that you're applying for the right one. In terms of what A-levels you should take, my advice is first decide what you would really want to take. I tell our students this. And then, only then, should you change if it's really necessary. You shouldn't just do it for the university you want to go to, whether that's LSE, Cambridge, or Warwick, or wherever else, Bristol, that you should, whichever course you want. Now, you have the mathematics. It starts from A-level maths. You do not literally need further maths, by which I mean that there won't be anything that's taught to you that you won't understand. A little of it seems like it goes very fast in MA 100, as it's called, if you didn't do further maths, because it starts you on matrices, on things that you could pick up. Once you get your note saying you've made your offer from LSE, you could just look at FP1 on the further maths. That would be enough. If you don't get scared, you know what I mean about how things seem fast. If you learn a foreign language, when you turn on the radio station the first time, it sounds like they're going a mile a minute. And in most languages, they aren't when you get used to it. And it's the same thing with that. We are looking for people who've done further maths. We want you, ideally, to do it as a fourth subject in economics. We don't count it if you're doing maths, further maths, and economics as three subjects. You have to do it as a fourth. And if you do it at A2 level, we don't ask for a specific result. I will tell you that if you can't get at least a B, that's a predictor that something's going to go wrong later. I've told a few students sometime, I see you got a D in further maths. Are you lazy or stupid? And usually they answer that they were lazy. That is, you gave me an offer. You said I had to get an A star in maths and an A in two other subjects. And so I didn't pay any attention to further maths. We don't ask for a specific result right now, but you should aim at doing well if you're doing it. And for other universities, they may care also. And we want that A star in maths, and we do not make exceptions on that. And on the other hand, what our ideal candidate might be doing just an AS in further maths, or we ask an A, or sometimes, and there will be some of you, maybe not if you're applying in 2015, but there will be a few who thought they were going to be doctors, or their parents thought they were going to be doctors anyway, and so they're doing biology and chemistry and economics and maths. And it's not an ideal combination, and maybe you can't switch to further maths because the timetable doesn't let you or whatever. We don't really, we accept some students like that. You have to be outstanding in other ways. You have to have a really good personal statement that tells us you know what economics is about, not just that you like it in order to make money. My dream candidate, I don't do the selection and lead the things myself, but my dream candidate would be taking, I guess, maths and economics and history, say, or politics, something like a good, solid A level, but in another social science. Not, in fact, physics, but a lot of you will have physics. It doesn't mean you won't get in, you will, but I'm just telling you our dream candidate. And you do at least an AS further maths to show you're not tired of mathematics, that you can take a little more. But you don't, if you come without further maths, there's no reason to panic or think you're disadvantaged, but it really is an enormous advantage in your applications, not just for us, but also for Cambridge and UCL and Warwick, I know. So if the idea of doing any further maths makes you go clunk inside, you should think about it not being the right degree for you. If the reason it makes you go clunk is not because of that, but because your school doesn't offer it, or the timetable doesn't allow it, or you didn't do it before, don't panic. Right? But it is important if you can do it. If you can't do it, it's important to let us know about that. Not just us, but all the other places you're applying. That your referee can write that. That Michael did not do further maths because the timetable did not allow his doing it along with his selection of Spanish, for example, let's say. And then you get this outside option. So you've got these three courses, though, in statistics and mathematics. A lot of our students now pick abstract maths. That means they really love it. They fit this model of loving maths. I tell people the one that really is the best is economic history, EH 101, which is an introduction. It's not really history. Other economic history courses, you know how history starts at the maybe not at the beginning, but it starts at the start, and it goes on, and it tells you what's happening. If it's exciting, it doesn't just tell you facts. It tells you why and so on. This one is topics. It's separate topics. So it's really economics in the past. And so it's the best single course. It's brilliantly taught. If you don't know what else to take, it lights up your economics. But there are other ones like that. There's a whole range. There's a huge list for you to look at, but you can see there's no shortage of psychology, I've mentioned the accounting, language. Okay, so those are examples, economic history, government, language, maths, straight history. Look on the LSE website and you'll see the choices, the courses, and the course guides. The difference with LSE and our offerings, and just about every other university I know, I stress, is that these are real courses. They aren't watered down for economists. That makes them more challenging, but that makes them, on the other hand, really exciting. You take philosophy with other people studying philosophy. You don't take watered down philosophy for economists or watered down political science for economists. So I like that a lot. We have one of the best departments in the world in a lot of these subjects, international relations, which is one of those subjects that got invented at LSE. It's because we are basically a single faculty of social science. Everything is social science. Even our language courses are fabulous that way because you learn about not mostly literature, although you can do literature at our language center, but also you learn about economics and current politics. You get a very different vocabulary if you read 19th century French and if you read the current debates in Le Monde, for example. And that's what we tend to stress. So everything is like that, and it's what makes, in my opinion, it's what makes it a really different course than most of the other places you'll get, notably Cambridge, which a number of you will be considering also, I guess, which has a very contained for economists set of courses, not with this variety. Okay, just to emphasize the final thing on maths, though, which is that we want economics to try to explain the world. When the world was going really well, that's not what people wanted economists for. We were along to say, this is the best of all possible worlds. Isn't it lovely? I have some mathematics to prove that capitalism is better than socialism, QED, and so on. Nobody's satisfied with that now. The world is a shaky, weird place. And so they want answers from us, and we have the kind of department that wants to give answers. We have LSE reports and commissions on how do we get back to growth in Britain? How do we reform the finance sector? Which you can usefully read to for your A levels, because they're written to inform the public and also written separately in more technical language. So we want the kind of people who want to do things not just in class, but out of class. And that's what a number of students have told me. This is when I ask them, what should I say on open day? Are you glad you came here? Some of our students don't apply to Cambridge at all. Some of our students turn down Cambridge, increasing number. But we know that Cambridge has that bright light. We admit that. They have more money than we do, for one thing. They have prettier buildings, although we have little pieces that are looking a little nice. They don't have London, it's true. You have to like London. If you don't like London, you shouldn't come to LSE. That's the first thing I would start with. Even if it's sometimes crowded, you have to feel the buzz and excitement. Cambridge does not have buzz. It's very peaceful. That's its point, right? But what students, you're supposed to not work during the year. You're supposed to focus on studies you do. They have an easier time of it than we do. They don't have the same number of students going missing doing too many outside activities. However, we do stress that we think we produce better economists because we have this focus and because economics should also relate to the real world. Okay. Now, there are two other degrees. I wrote BSc Economics. You will have noticed there that we offer that you can apply to. My basic advice to you is don't. If you're thinking of applying to either of those, please write to me. The BSc Econometrics in Mathematical Economics is a wonderful degree. I hope there are some people in the room who dream of doing a PhD in economics, winning a Nobel Prize. This is for you. Okay, this one. 10 to 15 people. In the last 2 years, we have, made very few offers, and this year and last year, none, zero. Okay, why? Because you can't know when you're 16, usually, about this. And I don't trust anybody who applies and does and says they know when they're not very convincing about that. I'm not saying this couldn't be you. And if that happens and you've got a great application, we'll tell you, hey, mate, how about applying for economics? But you should start in economics, same beginnings, and then we have people transferring to EME when they know they want to do research, not just future Nobel Prize winners. You might want to do research for the Bank of England, for example. We have people like that. We have people going to PricewaterhouseCoopers to their economics unit. We have people going to the Government Economic Service. So you just want to do research, then this is the right degree. But it's not for first year, so it's probably better not to waste your application on it. Also, I've noticed that a lot of people who apply for this have a tendency to do what I tell you at the very end, but I'll say it twice. What you shouldn't do on your personal statement, I won't use the language that comes to me. There's an eight-letter word starting with B that you can work out. But don't waffle, don't exaggerate your knowledge. They write about how they read this textbook in econometrics, and I can see they didn't. And I get to see all of these. I don't usually look at personal statements. I don't do selection. But I get a veto on these, and I'm the one that can tell when you have exaggerated. And I know that when you write your personal statement, you may go to universities that interview you. And it would be very stupid to say that you'd read something you had not really read if you're going to be interviewed. For LSE, imagine that we're going to ask you questions on it. Because I can tell what I would ask questions on if I see things that stretch it too far. Just be yourself. Write what interests you. Don't exaggerate how smart and how advanced your reading is, and it will be much more convincing. And that's a general piece of advice for all personal statements, that unlike me, we have readers who just that's what they do for a living. And so they know the difference between sincere personal statements, which may not be beautifully worded, and beautifully worded ones, which are kind of deliberately exaggerating. Economics with economic history, I wouldn't say don't apply. Getting near to time, aren't I? Yes. I wouldn't say don't apply. because we do accept some, but we have a problem. We have an economics history department, right? It has courses in economics and economic history, and in economics, economic history with economics. So we kind of suspect that a lot of people who apply for this one, they're scared of the maths. And we're worried about people, you can see, who are scared of the maths, right? They make life hard for me. And so we actually basically only take people for economics with economic history who are taking a level further maths. Then we know you're not scared of the maths. And if you say you're really interested in the history also, fine. It's a great degree then for that. And some students can transfer to it. If you take Economic History 101 in first year and you discover you'd like a more historical and a less mathematical course, you can transfer to it. But if you're applying, you should look as strong as our economics candidates. It's not easier to get into this course. It's a bit harder. You see why? That is, you're already suspected of trying to avoid maths. And so it's like somebody who's trying to get through customs very hastily, and so they call you back to look at your suitcase. You know, you should stroll through whistling and offer your suitcase, right? And so it's the same thing, if you've got the idea, that for this degree, please, if you really want it and you know it's right for you and you want to be in the economics department, not in the cozy economic history department, which has much more time for their students, you want to be in economics in that department, you can apply. We do accept people. But quite often we find that they want to transfer right away to BSc Economics. But it isn't as the EME. Okay, that's the second year, which I'm not going to go over in depth, but we'll turn over. You can see I'm running out of time, as usual. You'll see that it's three economics courses. You better like economics. This is not a taste of economics. If that is going to make you feel a little bit queasy, you need a joint degree or management, which has a softer version of this with more other things, or a different university. But it's a very heavy training, and what's important about it, we call these the core courses, is that we think from these, You have enough to do graduate degrees in economics, to go become a professional for the government economic service, work in the Treasury. This is your real core. It is a little difficult to take because we really give you enough to be an economist after 2 years. In your third year, you apply it. That's the fun year. If I were going to bring in students to tell you LSE is wonderful, I'm so glad I came, I mainly take third year students. Everybody loves the third year. The second year you have to get through, and my advice is you get through it by applying it, taking part in the real world, being leading members of the Economic Society, going to talks, inviting famous people, economists, to come, not just to a room like this, but to sit around a round table with them, to make it alive so you know why you're doing it. It's a tough, but it's a really great year. It's probably the best course in the world in that way, in what you learn. And we give you more choices here than other places. You can take a more mathematical or a less mathematical variant of two of our courses. And you get an outside option which can be completely different. I usually recommend, again, a social science, but you want to do Arab-Israeli relations, great. You want to do comparative literature and society. First year Mandarin. Whatever really tickles you, that's fine. And this is where I have to skip, unfortunately, because I've given you all my opinions mostly, but this is where it really gets to be fun. So have a look at our courses there, like behavioral economics, development economics. This is where you really get to apply it and see what economists are doing. I don't know a third-year student who is unhappy, except for the ones who didn't do any work at all in the first 2 years, and they're scared. But if you work enough so you earn a great third year, people really leave smiling. And you can take other courses. Okay. So have a look at those separately. Okay. I'm going to go fast over that. You get these lectures just like this. You don't get to ask questions. You get to sit at the back of the room. Almost all our lectures are recorded. Increasingly, people watch them on the video. I'm a little negative about this when it comes to a talk like this. Just watching me wouldn't be the same, I don't think. But when I'm teaching technical things, there's a lot to be said for being able to stop the for a second, pause and rewind, right? And you can do that on most of our courses. Some lecturers just don't like it. I know some lecturers who do it because they want to be frank with the students and they don't want it where it can be downloaded and published. But most of them do, and we even have gone to a regime now at LSE where you have to say, no, I don't want it, or else it will automatically be recorded. Because we encourage that, but we encourage you really to make good use of it. The best thing is to go to the lecture. You can multitask a little, which means you can play, well, nobody's doing Angry Birds anymore, but whatever you're doing now. And I don't think anything's replaced Angry Birds yet. You know, we need a new one, a new genius game. But when you can do that at the back of the room, but be there, and then you can watch afterwards, you can revise with it. Where the action should really be is in the classes. But we have a problem. And I tell you that because in 2 years I hope to see a lot of you right on the stage. I will welcome you as freshers, and I will tell you that your classes need to be active learning. They're not a place where the teacher summarizes what happened in the lecture. And then I call on you and I ask a question, and you sort of look like you don't know. So I ask an easier question, and you still don't know. So finally, I'm the teacher, and I give you the answer. And after a while, classes become mini lectures, and they're boring. Don't do that. Don't do it wherever you go, not just LSE. It's happening everywhere. My colleagues who are on the Economics Network Management Committee, we all share these problems. You should not be among those students. Make life exciting for you. Don't worry about being wrong. That doesn't matter. Mostly, you learn from that. You need an atmosphere where you're enjoying just guessing at things. And I myself, when I don't teach now, but when I was a class teacher, I didn't let students get away with it. After I'd asked the easier question and the little easier one, if there was nothing else, I tried silence. I find that usually students break after about 8 minutes of silence. Right, especially if I don't let you be playing Angry Birds. And I have a record, though, 19 minutes once. I lost. However, after that point, a student finally spoke because he couldn't take it anymore. But the point is, you'll make it. We're going to be stressing this a lot, and our students will be stressing it to you, our Economic Society officers, that we know why you're afraid to answer. You're not used to it. A lot of it is not in the British training, but what's exciting about university is both in the class and then afterwards spilling over, discussing things and getting excited about what the answer is and right and wrong, and there isn't any answer, whatever it is. And that's where our real training goes on. Okay. I'll just sum this up by saying the most important thing we also have, which we do a lot better than Cambridge, they teach you individually, but we have office hours where you go to the teacher, even the lecturer, but you only get to see at the front. You up there, I'm very small, I imagine. But if you were in my lecture, you can come around to my office hour face to face. And we do that very well. Our students go off to do graduate work in Cambridge sometimes. They're very disappointed there are no office hours. It's a thing that really works well. And we also want to have things outside of your classes, individual things on how to learn. You have an individual academic advisor. It's your job to make the most of that. And I've mentioned, this is what we're looking for. I know you want this, so you'll stay for that. Okay. Read that over in your spare time and write me about it if you're worried. Ask individual questions. Okay. In particular, if you're doing the IB or something else, talk to me about that. But we don't make exceptions on that, but the top is very clear on what we want. Further maths is preferred, and we wish at least further maths at AS. But if you're not doing it, either because your school doesn't offer it or you have another reason, let us know. Do not feel any more intimidated about that than this myth that I will skip the slide of, which says you have to have at least 8 or 14 or 26 A stars at GCSE. And this is just not true, but it does make it easier if you do it. Okay. Now, this is very important, what I've got in red down there. Subject combinations, which indicate you possess both analytical and writing ability. That really does mean, doesn't it, that if you're doing history and you get an A star or you're predicted it, it might very well compensate for not doing AS further maths. Just be sure you're doing the right course and you're really keen and like the maths. Again, everything is at the end of the year for us. There are some other departments like management that love team work and 25% for this, 30% for that. If the idea of exams once a year doesn't make you happy, but instead makes you anxious, don't come to our department, or don't come to Cambridge too, for that matter. But there are other departments like management which have more that isn't just in that final period. Okay? A very good personal statement. I've already said that, right? This is the last bit. We have written on our website enormous amounts about what we're looking for in a personal statement and what kind of candidate we're looking for and who does well and what the degree is like. If you follow the website, you can follow all these course guides. Do this for any university to which you're applying. I call it chewing up the website. You know how it turns purple instead of blue if you click on it, and you use Google, and it says you visited this page 10 times. That's what it should look like, so that you really know what they are looking for, what it would be like. Imagine being there. Now, you can't just apply in your personal statement to one university. You'll have to be a little bit more general, but you should know what you are aiming at and what sort of person they are looking for. If you have someone else write it, it shows. That's the main problem. It isn't, maybe it's also not very nice and wicked and so on, but mostly it shows that you didn't write it. There is a statement that doesn't have to be a prize winner, but is you from, is serious, and which has detail in it about what you've read. Not just titles of books, but some idea. Why did you get interested in economics? That's usually the most important first statement. What is it that got you here? I don't know, maybe I'm wrong and you're too young, but I suspect that being children of the financial crisis was important. I know that there was a generation I had of students from East Asia, Malaysia, Singapore, and all of them saw the crisis come in, the East Asian crisis, as we called it, of 1997, come into their own home. Is that what brought you into it? Is something else? Whatever it is, just give that detail about how you got interested in economics. And as I said, that's advice not just for LSE. Here are some pretty pictures to end with, really. That's our building, which is about 3 minutes from here on the south side of Lincoln's Inn Fields. I'm sorry I couldn't organize better weather today, but I've saved my weather-making power for visit day, which is for our offer holders, which is 2 weeks from now. You can see the talk I give there will be posted, on the, and you might want to do that because it's a taster talk. It'll be about GDP. Is it a good measure or a rubbish measure for our times? And you might find it useful in A-level also. But you'll get a picture there. You can wander along. Lincoln's Inn Fields is becoming our campus. We bought another building. By the time you get here, we basically will have owned most of it, and you can have classes on the lawn. And that's it. Okay, I think that probably that's it for now. Probably I should... I'll do this. Everybody who wants to go can go. Then what's left can ask questions like that if you like. But if there aren't any of that, I stay here. You line up. I don't even get to go to the loo. You ask questions. Thanks very much.